It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM 103.7. And we've got Paul from Rankin Park, and he's got a question about apple seeds.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Judy. How are you going?
Very, very well.
Thank you. My daughter has got a little bit of a project going of her own at home, and she's got apple seeds between two wet paper towels on the windowsill, and they're starting to take off.
Right, that's good.
Wondering, is this the season and what should we do?
It is the season, definitely, if you're germinating, particularly
yep.
if they have started to shoot. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
Oh, great.
They've started to shoot, yeah. Then they look, obviously they look very healthy from the shoots
fantastic.
That are already started. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's probably time to get them in some soil. I gather she's probably going to put them in pots first, is she?
Yeah, that's what I did suggest, that she puts them in pots to start with, and then wanting to know what sort of feed, where do we go, how long do we keep them in the wet paper towel for, or, you know, so.
Well, if they're shooting now, I'd be inclined to say now it's spring. Spring has sprung, ha-ha.
Yeah.
In between rain and cold. So, look, I think it's time that she potted them into pots using a good potting mix. But whenever you're germinating, you never let that soil dry out in the pots.
Okay.
You know, so just tell her to keep them wet, you know, and watered regularly and, you know, keep her fingers crossed. So, so
any,
is she going to
plant?
Oh, look, I'd be very careful. Wait till they get a bit of size on them. And then just something liquid like the Flourish to give them
Flourish.
A bit of stimulation,
okay.
You can buy Flourish for fruiting.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, for fruit trees. So you're probably better off using that one, I would imagine.
Okay, that sounds great.
So now we've got spring, time to do it.
Yep, I wish her all the best.
I wish her all the best too, to be honest.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul, for the call.
No worries, Judy. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, Judy, you had a little bit of homework last week.
Yes, we did. We were so busy, you know, it was hard to kind of cope with some of the difficult ones. Well, they weren't difficult, but, you know, they're a bit more extensive.
Needed a little bit more information for it.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
So we got one about low pine seeds.
Yeah, low pine seeds. A lady from Victoria from Roworth rang, and it's very, very interesting, actually. So she wanted to know what to do with. She wanted to germinate a lone pine seed.
Yep.
And so the answer is she needs to push the head seed just beneath the soil surface, and you've got to point it, pointing the end facing downwards. So the pointy end goes downwards into the soil, right?
Yeah, and you have a little bit on the top.
I mucked it up a bit then, But no, it's the pointy end. Unusual, you would think the pointy end would go to the top, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I would imagine. But anyway, no, that's not the correct answer. And then you place the pot in a sunny window and water thoroughly and don't let it dry out. Germination can take months. So if you're listening, Victoria, months before it's going to shoot.
That's a lot of patience involved.
It's a lot of patience involved. And you've got to make sure the soil is kept moist. Germination can take months. Soak for 24 hours prior to planting. But there is a clue to that, Greg. If you're not going to plant after the 24 hours, don't do the soaking.
Right, okay.
Because if something comes up in your life and you can't get to plant them, you've wrecked them.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
Oh, geez, there's not much room for error here.
No, not much. But, you know, I mean, when you think about it, they grow, don't they, over in the very dry climates. So it probably is a bit of a challenge, I would imagine, Victoria.
Yeah, it's looking a bit tough, especially just keeping the soil moist all the time.
That's yeah.
You have to set an alarm for it, nearly.
You would have to, yeah. So, but, you know, if Victoria wants to ring in again, we can always double check with her if she didn't hear us today and run, you know, give us some more clues about it.
And see how she's going with it.
Yeah.
Judy Victoria just rang you back as well about the worm pine seed.
Yeah, well, that's good, isn't it?
And said she's going to take the advice on hand.
Yeah, so good luck with that, Victoria. I think it could be a little bit complex, but, you know, hopefully that helps her.
A couple of months, that's
Yeah.
A lot of patience. We've got Erwin now from Fullerton Cove, and he's got a question about the olive tree.
Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning.
What can I help you with?
Just got a question. I've got three or four olive trees growing around on my property, and some of them are like 10 and 15 years old. They're all growing well, but nothing's ever flowered for me.
Really? They're so easy to fruit, Erwin. They're in the ground, I'm gathering.
Yeah.
And have you got the ground, the soil clear around them, or is there grass growing up to them?
A little bit of grass growing up to them.
Yeah, I'd remove that, I think.
Why I'm ringing is I've got a paddock that I'm starting to use like a bit of an orchard, and I want to go out and buy some more olive trees and grow a few more of them, and I want to get started properly from the start. So I thought I'd ask for your advice and see what I've got to do.
Well, Erwin, the only advice I can give you on this one is I have a whole row of them at the side of my house, and I have them in pots as well. The ones in the pots are fruiting, but they've been there for a lot longer than the ones in the ground. Look, they fruit very, very easily, but I don't have any grass or anything around mine. You know, they really don't even require a lot of feeding. But, you know, you could give them a little bit of something, but, you know, they're pretty tough creatures. Why don't we do this? Why don't we give them sulfate of potash? Because that will stimulate them to fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best answer, I think, for olives.
Should they be in, full sun all the time, or should they?
Well, mine are in full sun, so where are yours?
Well, the old ones that I've had for a while, one of them is always in full sun, but the other ones are sort of in a bit of shade.
Right.
Because they're in amongst a whole heap of other trees.
Yeah, well, that maybe is the problem with those ones. You know, they tend to be lone creatures, don't they, when you think about them, growing over on the rocks and everywhere in Greece. They tend to be fairly lone creatures. So I think the ones amongst the trees, they probably let you down. But give them a sulfate of potash anyway. But I think you really need to remove the grass. So when you're planting out your new ones, make sure you give them a nice sunny position.
Okay.
Okey-doke.
Yeah, I've got like 3.5-4 metres in between each tree, so in where I'm planting them.
Yeah, no, they should be getting plenty of sun then.
Okay,
good luck with that, Erwin. Let's know how they go down the track. It'll be a while before you get them and we see the fruit coming, of course.
Unless the other ones start to fruit all of a sudden.
Okay, yeah, with the sulfate of potash, they may do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Erwin. Bye.
We've got Bernadette now from Wanji, and she's got a question about red onions.
Oh, that's an interesting one, Bernadette.
Yes, I planted my red onions and they grew beautifully. And now they've started shooting to flower and they haven't bulbed. I'm wondering what I've done wrong.
Oh, okay. So they haven't bulbed at all?
No. They're lush and green, but they're shooting these flower heads.
Right.
And when I pull them up, they look more like leeks.
Oh, okay. So you've actually pulled them up to have a look?
I've pulled up a couple of them to have a look, yes.
I wonder if that's the problem. You didn't leave them in there long enough. I've got a feeling, from memory, onions might take about some length of time before they So how long have yours...
But if they start flowering, isn't that sort of the
end
of
finished? That is true, but unless, you know, the soil hasn't been relative to them, unless they weren't happy, so that's why they might look like shallots. But are they edible?
I'm quite sure they're edible,
You're just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed that I haven't got a lot of red onions.
Understandable. Yes, look, I don't know what the easy solution is to tell you on that one. Next time you're planting them, maybe make your soil more rich or something.
Yes, well, it's had sheep manure put into it as well as the sugarcane mulch chopped up into it, but it is very acidic.
Oh, right, okay. It is acidic, you've tested it.
Oh, Wandy soil just eats the wooden stakes.
Yeah. Look, maybe try and get it back to neutral a little bit if it's acidic. Try and work it back to neutral. So you could do that by just changing your manure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd try that one, but in the meantime, maybe enjoy the shallot red onions you've got down there.
Yes, well, the leeks grow very well. But, yeah. The onions have an onion.
Oh, that is so disappointing, Bernadette, but probably a little late to do anything about it for this crop, but we'll see what we can achieve next time.
Okay. So
thanks, Bernadette.
Focus on the soil. Bye.
Yeah, definitely change your soil. Thank you. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Wanda now from a Cook Still, and she's got a question about the fiddle leaf fig.
Oh, is it inside, Wanda, or in the ground?
It was inside, and I have just put it outside. It's very large because my cat has decided now to make it her toilet. And she's got the cleanest litter box and everything. And I had to put it outside because I had to flush it out because of all the wood in it. But I'm thinking of leaving it outside now because it's very big. I've got an old house and it's really high, but it's a very thin trunk of it,
right,
or whatever you want to call it. And one of the bits has a huge lot of leaves on it, and I'm just wondering if I should, and it's leaning, I'm just wondering if I should cut that off.
Look, I think at this time of year I would be pruning it a bit to thicken it up. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And, you know, you have to watch them outside a little bit. Do not put it in the ground. You know how huge they grow.
It's a huge pot.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It's in the laneway. You know where the old the toilet lane? Like this, my house, another house are really protecting it. So it'll get the right amount of, it doesn't get wind or anything like that, gets the right amount of
Sounds ideal. Absolutely ideal for it.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's, what a shame that the cat did that when it was so nice inside.
I know.
Wanda, did you ever come to the Merriweather Nursery?
No, I don't drive anymore, so unless someone can take me.
Yeah. Well, we had a cat there. We called her the Waving Cat. Everyone called her the Waving Cat.
Right.
She was incredible. She high-fived the customers. She met them at the front gate and waved to them. And when we closed the Merriweather Nursery, I took her home. And I tell you what, Wanda, she is in heaven. She sleeps on my bed every night, wakes me up at 6 o'clock for breakfast. but she goes in that litter tray. And yet
she always has. Yeah, this one always has.
Yeah, now that's really strange. Did you change the litter or try something different?
No, it's exactly the same. I keep it really clean because it's inside.
Yeah.
Yes. So she does go outside, but she can't get out. It's in a, you know, it's all closed in and it's just an area she's got where grass is for her.
Yeah. Well, you know, you could always try and change the litter to a different brand and see what happens. Look, I'm not a pet chat person, but I know a little bit about these creatures. I won't even tell you about Arthur, my dog, what he does sometimes, in case my sons are listening. But look, honestly, Wanda, I can't give you any more advice than that. I think you're on the ball. You've got it all sorted.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Just help me. I miss you. I used to walk up to you.
Oh.
You moved from Derby Street. How dare you?
Well,
always great advice you gave, and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
it hasn't changed.
Well, you can always give us a ring on radio and have a chat.
That's right.
Okay, look forward to it, Wanda, and I'm sorry that that I'm not there to have a chat anymore, but plenty of chatting time on here.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you very much.
Let me know how the fiddle leaf goes.
I will. Okay, bye.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call, 49216 216. And we've got Mark from Edgeworth, and he's got a question about large pots.
Oh, large pots, Mark.
Yes, Judy, I bought three very, very large pots. They'd be 700 to 800 across from one side to the other, millimetres, so they're pretty big. So what I did is I went out and bought some really the best quality potting mix possible, filled it up, put hibiscus in them. Now it's down about 30% down the pot. Like the it's dropped down, it's compressed down by itself on the whole three of them. So what can I do?
Mark, can you tell me roughly how much, don't tell me branding or anything, but how much did you pay for that mix? Was it a big bag?
Yeah, it was the highest price one I could possibly buy from Bunnings.
Oh, right, okay. You can't remember how much?
Oh, geez.
Because I consider, say, $17 to $18 is a good potty mix.
Yeah, I think these were more.
Oh, really? Right, okay. Yeah. Look, what you might...
I think that was Osmocote.
Well, that's good branding, yeah. Look, I think what you need to do now is they may be the soil might be lacking peat moss. I'd put moss in and dig it all around.
But because they're so far down now...
Right.
Well, I can't put the soil back up because you can't put it around the stem of the plant, can I?
No, you can't. Did it have a big drainage hole in it?
Yes.
It did. So maybe
on
that's
the
problem.
Three, but honestly, it does it on all the pots that I do. I think if you ask the question out there, does anyone's soil drop down since they've put it in there? I have it levelled nearly to the top. And, yeah, it's gone down, I reckon, about 8 inches, nine inches down.
Oh, my gosh, no, that's too far.
On all of them?
On all of them. Yeah, well, OK, we've got to try and build that soil up. But if you put peat moss around the plants and gradually added more and more, that would help without upsetting the plant at all.
Yeah, because I was thinking that I have to pull them out, put the soil back down the bottom and put them back in again.
Yeah, well, see, that's not going to help because you've still got that big drainage hole. Probably what you needed to do was put some rocks or something in the bottom.
I even had that. Judy, I even did that. I tried to do everything right.
You're organised. I don't know what else to do.
What I was thinking of doing is maybe putting a pipe around the stem and then putting the soil up so the soil doesn't hit the stem.
Oh, look, I think let's try my solution first, some peat moss. Don't worry about the sugarcane mulch because that will break down. Just try adding a little bit of peat moss, and it's not cheap. It's fairly expensive.
Yep,
but it's worthwhile. Yeah, and just dig it gradually through the soil and keep adding it.
Okay, so it's still going to remain that distance down.
Yeah, it is.
You're saying to put the
Otherwise, you've got to buy big, big, big sources to put underneath them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, problem.
I'm just saying I want the plant more up the top.
I know. Well, it's going to be a bit of a long journey, I think, Mark, to do that.
Okay, Judy.
Good
thanks
luck
for
with
your
it.
Advice.
Good luck. I'm sorry it's not better advice, but, you know, I think otherwise you've got to dig the plant out very carefully without damaging the roots. Then you've got to empty the soil out and put something over the hole. You know, it's something you needed to address right from the beginning, so we just have to do Band-Aid treatment now.
Yes. I still think a lot of these potty mixes do compress out, not compress, but drop down in time.
That is correct. They do.
Yep.
And I only used to keep one particular brand because I'd use it myself, and it was fantastic. I never had that problem. But, you know, some things are more difficult to buy now, of course. So, you know, you've just got to take what you get sometimes, unfortunately. Okay, Mark, look, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I hope that helped you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mark. We've got Paul now from Rankin Park, and he's maybe have something about the fiddle leaf fig as well.
Oh, hello, Paul. You were listening in earlier, were you?
I was the one that rang earlier, yes. I have a fiddle leaf fig, and it's in inside, and it's in a, not so much a smallish pot, but it's, I got it off of my mother, and it's very healthy, and the lower leaves I actually ripped off.
Right.
Or just pulled them off, and it looks very healthy, but the pot that it's in, it doesn't have a, should it have wet feet or what and I heard the lady before talking about hers. Should I put it outside?
No. Are you? Is it happy in there, Paul?
It looks very healthy.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you're doing everything right. Why put it outside? You know, outside they can be very susceptible to the weather.
Well, this one's nearly touching my ceiling inside, but I didn't want to do anything drastic to change it.
Well, you can prune them, you know. If you prune them, they thicken up.
Right, and that was going to be my next question. The stem itself is probably a good like inch and a half thick down the bottom.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's only got two off branches on it.
Right.
And I don't know whether. I don't know what to do. So should I leave them branches? Because it looks very healthy and it's nearly hitting the ceiling. And it's very, so it gets the nice light in during the whole day virtually through the window. But I don't want to do anything that may, I don't want to destroy it.
I don't want you to destroy it, Paul.
No, I don't.
I think let's leave well enough alone in this case.
Yep. Okay.
If you're happy and the plant's happy, all it will do, the top branch will tend to bend over a little bit.
Okay.
And it won't hurt it at all. And look, they're sometimes extremely hard to grow inside.
Okay. Yeah, well, my mother has had it for a long time. When I say a long time, like it'd be, I don't know, maybe 8 years, maybe longer.
Right.
But I've got it at my place now, and I haven't done much with it, but the pot that it's in, could I repot it into a bigger pot?
You could do that. You could do that. But if it's happy, I'm thinking leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
And then if you've got to repot it, well, you know, you'll work that out pretty quickly. You'll get yellow leaves. It'll start to drop leaves. So if that happens, we'll repot it then. How does that sound?
It sounds good. And it has dropped a couple of leaves. And that's why I took off the bottom leaves. You're right. It's very healthy and it seems very happy where it is.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to think anything you do would prune off that top growth. Top growth, to make it kick out from the sides.
Yeah, so what it has is two branches coming off. So from the say the trunk of the tree, how much from the trunk of the tree in the branch should I prune off?
Oh, look, you could take it perhaps back half and then it will put out two side shoots.
And then
it'll thicken it up for you.
And obviously it's not going to hurt it, it's not going to stress it.
No, not at this time of year. No, it should be fine.
Okay. That sounds great.
And if it does get stressed, Paul, you know where to get me. You can ring me and go crook at me.
Oh, no. I'll ring you up next week.
Don't think it'll happen that quick. Okay.
No. Okay.
We'll talk to you soon then.
Okay. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got time for a couple more calls. We've got David from Cessnock, and he's got a question about the mandarin tree and also no bees.
Oh, hello, Dave. No bees around your property?
No, none at all. Had a complete failure. The season just got no fruit.
No fruit.
And shaping up the same this year.
It's a real problem, Dave. You know, I mean, I often think it's when they started eliminating all the bees, you know, the breeding bees, and you know, probably in your area you would have had some that might have been destroyed, and someone rang last week from the lake, and he had no bees at all on his side of the lake. He drove around the other side and they were everywhere. So
you know, well, like you said, the tree's full of blossom, and normally you'd hear them and see them in their thousands, but there's none to be seen.
So you've planted other things, have you, like, you know, to attract them? Shrubs to attract them? Lavender and things?
I've got a pot full of pansies, yellow and purple, the main attracting colours that's near the tree.
Yeah.
A couple of hoverflies is the best I've come up with.
Look, honestly, I don't know. I wish some beekeepers would ring us that might listen to us and just let us know. I mean, what do you do? Do you go and buy bees and put them into your garden?
Apparently there's a three-month wait list to get them down from Queensland. So
really?
So that's the season done. So, yeah.
Well, I haven't got any easy solutions, have I? I'm sorry.
No, that's fine, mate. I just thought there might have been something, but... we'll let Mother Nature take its course and hopefully it all comes good.
Yeah, hopefully that's what happens, David. But, you know, we'll often, you know, get someone might ring in later and give us some advice and that'd be handy. And we've got your phone number. I could always give you a ring.
That'd be lovely.
Okay. Thank you for the call, David.
Thank you. You have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. Bye.
We've got time for one more. We've got Sue from Charlestown, and she's got a question about transplanting a maybush.
Ah, do you know what a maybush is, Greg?
No. Are they planted in the month of May, or?
Did you hear that, Sue? Are they planted in the month of May?
I did.
Look, they're a very old-fashioned shrub, but they're quite beautiful, aren't they, when they're in flower? Yeah. But sometimes I think the foliage, Sue, isn't that wonderful, is it? But it's nice.
No. Yeah. No, it's nice, green, but they are beautiful in bloom. But I just wanted to move it, but I didn't know whether it would take that. It's been in for a long time. We've cut it back all the time, but I did want to move it rather than, because we're doing something different in the garden and it's not needed in there.
Okay, well, of course, your root system might be well established, but they'd be only, how long's it been in, a long time?
Oh, a long time, Judy.
You might have to risk damaging the roots, that's all. But, you know, give it a hard prune. That won't hurt. It responds to that. You could cut it right back and try and dig well around it and have your new hole ready and
just
pump the water into it.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes, Judy. Yeah. And thank you. I spoke to you probably 6 weeks ago about roses, and my roses are absolutely beautiful. So thank you for your help.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Sue. And thank you for the call today. It's always nice to chat again.
Judy Sharp, we're out of time for another week.
We are.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.